The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I owe you an apology. It's not easy for most of us to admit when we're wrong. It's not it's certainly not easy for me, and it's not easy on this stage, a stage this big, but I was wrong yesterday. Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck again today. Yesterday on this program, I missed my mark a little bit. I failed by not effectively expressing my compassion for all of those suffering because of the mass murder in Las Vegas. And for that, I'm sorry. I felt pretty good about yesterday's program, some of the stuff we did and some of the ways we approached it. We updated some facts. We offered some speculation on the motives of the shooter. And then mocked some of the celebrities, which that's always good. That's good stuff. Mocking them specifically for their now concern in the middle of the tragedy over gun control again and that becoming an issue. But I didn't realize until I got off the air that some people felt I came across a little insensitive. And I started thinking about that. Obviously, it was not my intention. But how I was able to miss the mark and how people misunderstood that. And then I realized it's a bit of a symptom of where we live and where we're at now in our lives. How it's changed from now to 50 years ago, 20 years ago. See, if you don't know me and you've never listened to this program, then anything you hear, if this is your first moment listening to this program, this is all you know of me. It's true of any program. If you go into a restaurant and you eat there, that's 100% of your experiences at that restaurant. If it's a movie, a television series, if you meet a new person, that experience is 100% of your experience with whatever it is. So if you tune into a radio program and you hear 5 minutes of material, that's all you have to judge it by. If it's out of context, you don't realize that there may be a slightly different meaning. For most people that's listened to me over the years, if you listen to me on the Morning Blaze, if you listen to this program on Monday, I think you recognize how seriously we value life. I'm pro-life. I'm anti-abortion. I fight rabidly for veterans and veterans' causes and veterans' issues. We give time and money and service to all kinds of charities. We give of ourselves on our program, even within this company, regularly. So when we laid out some of the facts yesterday, we didn't necessarily do some of our due diligence to take a moment and recognize some of the people that are suffering. And for that, I was wrong. I just assume, mistakenly at times, that people recognize, hey, well, I know that doc. I know what he's about. I get it. But that was a failure of on my part. And this became evident during the election. Glenn struggled with this as well. For people that listened to this program for years, they said, I know what that Glenn Beck's about. And then they're like, well, wait a minute, I'm supporting Trump, and here's this Glenn Beck guy not supporting Trump. Why did he change so much? Maybe he didn't. Maybe you didn't. Maybe it's just you have some differences, and those differences became highlighted and became out of control, our opinions of them, because of the world we live in. That's unfortunately a failure of today's society. That we can no longer trust some people that we've trusted because of a difference or two. Even though we may have marched with them. We may have fought for certain issues. But unfortunately, politics has become our highest ideas, our highest values. I'm not talking issues. I'm not talking about concerns or historical precedents, historical facts, or the Constitution. I'm talking politics. I'm talking the process of governing, not the ideas or the solutions that affect us all, but but the process, the system. It's become a spectator sport. Sticking it to the other side is job one now. It's what we look to do. We're trying to win an argument. We're trying to prove we're right, even when we're quite often wrong. That's who we are now. How did we get there from even just 10 years ago? I'll bet you started your journey to right here to be informed about issues of the day, where we're heading, what we struggle with, from a very good place. You informed yourself. You said, this is knowledge I need. You learned about history. You learned about other cultures. You learned about the law. You learned about all these things. You learned about people and you study them. Then you look around and you go, why am I so alone? And how come on social media I've got people that I thought I knew I can't trust anymore? Because unfortunately we're being divided and we divide ourselves. By number one, not leading first with our values. And that doesn't mean blah, blah, blahing about them on the radio. It doesn't mean talking about them on social media. It's not a better than thou, holier than thou attitude. It's not telling people how they're wrong. It's living them. Being them. Treating people well. That when you have those differences on social media, it's good to discuss them. It's good discussion, debate, ideas, values, even those that differ from you are good. It's knowledge. It's information. It's challenging you. And in some cases, it's making you realize exactly how right your values and ideas are. But that's unfortunately not how most of us see it now. If something is different, it's got to be shut down. We've got to come out against it rapidly. And then, much like judging a radio show or a restaurant or something with one little bit of information, we automatically assume we know about them. We assume we know everything about them. I'll give you an example. I have, sadly, over the past 6-8 months, had to, whenever I talk about the president, give a disclaimer about all my political views. I have to, if I say something critical of President Trump, I have to go, but I support President Trump when it comes to this, 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 and this, because if you're a supporter of President Trump and you hear me say one thing critical, anti-Trump guy, anti-Trump, and you're on that Glenn Beck program, and of course, he didn't support Trump, tired of this or whatever, and I support Trump, why are you out to get him? No, that's not accurate. Or if I say something positive about President Trump, I have to go down the disclaimer that I did not vote for President Trump. Of course, I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton because she's off her rocker, crazy, and possibly evil, and I don't support anything she's done. However, I vote on track record. Thereby, Trump not having a track record, I could not support him because some of the things I do know about him, I didn't like and could not support him as president. I'm looking for something else, somebody who's consistent in their values, much like, and I have to go down this nutty ass disclaimer whenever I discuss it, because otherwise I will be seen by the people that are not Trump supporters, the ones that are out there rabidly out to get him because they're crazy and on a witch hunt, as one of those Trump supporters. You obviously wanted people to be murdered in Las Vegas. You obviously want people to die in Puerto Rico, and so on and so forth. At some point, haven't you gotten tired of this game? The futility in this? Aren't you tired of that? I admitted yesterday I did not pause enough and give that what I would expect most people to recognize, sympathy and compassion for people in Las Vegas and other people around the globe who had loved ones who suffered or hurt or injured because of what happened. I would expect that you would just know that most of your fellow human beings, of course, have compassion for somebody who was shot, somebody who had a loved one shot and possibly killed in Las Vegas. Don't you think most human beings, I mean, 80, 90% outside of some really crazy people or evil people, wouldn't you expect that, of course, they have compassion, that they're sensitive, that they're not wishing death upon people? I did not do my due diligence yesterday to express that. That was a failure. But why aren't we giving people the benefit of the doubt with that? I don't think the CBS executive who said she wouldn't be sympathetic because they were likely Republican supporters or gun toters that were shot, I don't think she's really hateful. I don't think she really wants to see people shot. I just think she crossed the line in expressing that, because the more we share craziness like that, the worse it gets. There's no compassion. There's no humanity left. That's the real crisis. The lack of humanity and the fact that we do not give the benefit of the doubt to each other. Over the years, I have been uber critical, as I should be, of people that are progressive and liberals, because your ideas are quite often mainly wrong. They're wrong for humanity. They're wrong for my fellow humans. They're wrong systems of government. They oppress, they hurt. But I don't think most of those liberals want bad. I don't think they're evil. They're not wanting to bring the system down or to hurt people. On the contrary, I think they actually want to help. I think they're actually probably very caring people. I just think they haven't been able to process the information. They're not being logical. How things need to roll out to help the most number of people. They don't get the slippery slope when you start infringing rights. But I give them the benefit of the doubt about actually mainly being caring people. I don't get that same respect from people on the left. They believe if you're conservative, you're evil, you're a racist, all of these things. But see, conservatives are that way as well. If you're a Trump supporter and I say something negative about President Trump, even if it's accurate, even if it's based in fact, quite often you leap to, "Trump hater, I know who you are." And if I say something positive of President Trump and you do not support him, then you automatically, "Oh, you're just in the tank for Trump." No. I look at each issue based on my values and my support of my fellow man and decide what's right. I'm consistent that way. Even though I have suffered the slings and arrows to my program and my career because people challenge me on that thinking, they wrongly know something about me. And why? Because they can't admit their own failures, that some of the things and ideas they've supported are wrong. Secretary of Health and Human Services Tom Price resigned last Friday over scandal that he spent $400,000 on chartered flights. Outrageous that he would do so. It's a waste of money. It's something that I've screamed about for decades. The waste of money. We're $20 trillion in debt. And I called Tom Price out. That was wrong. You also got the secretary of the VA spending, wasting money on trips for him and his wife to go to Europe. You've got the guy from the EPA wasting money on these trips. They're chartering flights. It is a waste of money and we don't have it. Yes, I called out Republicans and the Trump administration, just as I called out Obama's as well. But for you people on the left that now are suddenly offended that the Trump administration is wasting money, where were you for the last 8 years? And for you conservatives who were so concerned about President Obama wasting money, how come you're not calling out Trump on these things? This is the consistency I'm talking about. Give your fellow man the benefit of the doubt. Go back to your core values of your faith and humanity and treating people well. And call out people who are not being consistent, even if that means the people that you covet, because they matter so much to you. This includes your children, your clergy, your spouse, and the people that you have sent to DC to represent you. That's the way forward. You want solutions? You're frustrated every day? That's it. Right there. You start there. We all get 5% better at that today. And our world will dramatically change for the better. Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Mm-mm.
Glenn Beck.
I don't know if that actually made sense or not. It's some of my frustrations just kind of oozing out. I don't like to lead with serious and heavy. That's not who I am. I'm not a catastrophist like Glenn Beck is. I prefer humor. I get frustrated like the average. I am so average or below average. I was giving myself credit by saying average.
Way too much credit.
I am the average just guy who just wants to go home and be left alone. That's the reason I am a primary libertarian valued person. I just want to get through my little life, enjoy it, see my kids, that type of thing. And I have a couple of forms of escape. It's anger, frustration, or laughter. That's it. Those are my forms of expression.
Do you feel that you connected to the audience?
I don't know. I hope I did. I'm just so tired of the lies from people because they're automatically in a camp. We read that book, Mistakes Were Made But Not By Me, about cognitive dissonance, where we come up with the excuse. Let me give you a good example, and I've used this before. Let's say you're a smoker and you love smoking, but you know smoking is bad for you.
There's studies.
Right, and you know it. These two contradictory things cannot exist in our brains. So we've got to find a way to compartmentalize them and deal with one of them. Well, you're not going to give up smoking, so what do? You got to deal with the studies, and what do you say?
They're fake.
It's not accurate. Oh, it doesn't happen to everybody. I have a relative who smoked for 1,000 years and they're fine.
He died of natural causes. And lung cancer.
Or I'm not going to stop now. Whatever it is, whatever excuse you come up with, because you got to deal with it. And that's where we're at with parties. Please stop. Call out bad when it's bad. Use all the facts. Stop trying to craft a message. Stop making it a competition to be who's right about politics, and start making it a competition about who can be the better person and treat people. Okay, I'm going off again. You got tweets?
I do, because the reviews are in, and it looks like some people are agreeing with you. For example, you got Adorable Deplorable tweeting out saying, "Welcome to my world of disclaimer. On Facebook, I qualify anytime I have taken stands for and against Donald Trump." Or you got, Herd Divergent also tweeting out what I learned today. Doc Thompson on the Glenn Beck program this morning. Right on. Great monologue. I'm a follower now.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, sincerely. Yeah, the disclaimers are hilarious. Yeah. I find myself going into disclaimer mode. I'm there and I'm like, here's a part of that. And I'm like going through all of the little checklists, just so you know. I mean, I've given Trump fairly high marks in his administration so far.
We have, and we've been fair. And then one thing that we do different is we look both sides. For example, the Republicans are wasting money, so you have to call them out. The Democrats wasted money while President Obama
called them out.
We have to call them out.
The disclaimer, though, is hilarious. In my mind, as I go to some assembly required, I didn't vote for Trump, but he's far better than Hillary. Does not include title tax and licensing fees. I certainly am not a progressive. I am a conservative libertarian. May cause chafing. Batteries not included. Right? I mean, just went on the list of stuff. Did I miss anything?
No, you got it all.
I'm a white Christian male. Just got to go ahead and lead with that. Lead with your white privilege, too, right? All right, if you want to tweet the program, it's at Doc Thompson Show, at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, who's here with me as well, at Cal, who's at Cal 79, who is part of the Morning Blaze as well. And if you want to find out more about the crew, it's theblazeradio.com. We're on every Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. Most mornings.
For now.
We'll see until they wise up, till Glenn hears that monologue. We'll see how that works out. If you want to join the program, we'll take some calls as well. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. I do have to give you an update on the latest out of Las Vegas. We've got some new information. It's only getting weirder, folks. It is only getting more bizarre. And instead of getting more answers, what answers we are getting just leads to more questions. It is odd. Your calls coming up on this, the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program.
Everything on the internet is seen as a challenge. Oh. God love you, especially our program as well. Now the disclaimers are all coming in.
Yeah, you got a lot of disclaimers coming up. For example, you got James saying, Doc Thompson views not redeemable in Michigan, Alaska, or Hawaii. 10-cent refund in Maine. And you got Joshua. You know what, Joshua? I agree with you now. Doc Thompson's monologue, I give it a 5 out of 10. so far this morning. Luckily, I'm a TMB fan, so I get you.
Wow, I'm really slacking there.
5 out of 10.
I apologize for that tomorrow. a quick another disclaimer for you. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to be critical of President Trump. And a little bit later on after that, we're going to be critical of the mayor of San Juan. Just so you know, a lot of criticism to go around this morning. Before we get to other news going on in the world, we do have to give you an update on Las Vegas this morning and the murderer that is Stephen Paddock. Now, first of all, we've unfortunately got to run down some of the statistics about those injured. 59 dead, 19 of those now reported died at the hospital, which what that means, 40 people that were shot died on the scene. 19 of them were transported to the hospital and succumbed to those injuries. The number of injured, 527. 138 were still hospitalized as of yesterday, 50 of them in critical condition. Now, with technology, modern medicine, and the care they're getting, many of those, most of those, likely will survive. They likely will not die. But most of those people are going to continue to suffer the effects of those injuries for many, many years. If you're ever in critical condition for anything, you likely are going to suffer the effects of that moving forward.
Well, think about the PTSD, you know, of the shots, because these were civilians.
Oh, you're right. We're talking all injuries and wounds physically, that are physical, but what
about
that?
Think about the mental. These are civilians. They've never heard a gunshot. They thought it was fireworks. So once they were clicked on, no, wait a minute. Those are gunshots. What am I going to do? So think about the traumatic stress that is, because I have PTSD because a bomb went off right behind me. So, and I was used to, because of my training, I knew what I was getting to. But these people were just enjoying a normal day in Vegas, enjoying a concert. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to enjoy my night. But think about the emotional and the stress now that they have that when they survive. Survivor's guilt.
Yeah, you're right. Innocence lost in so many different ways. Survivor's guilt. And then they're seeing the graphic nature. I mean, there's carnage. I mean, there's blood all over the place. They witnessed this stuff. As of yesterday, 239 were treated and released from the hospitals. Think about those numbers. That's how many were released, and there's still 138 in the hospital. Horrible, horrible situation. And, of course, all of their friends and family, coworkers, acquaintances, they're all suffering those effects as well. We've got more information now on this murderer, Stephen Paddock. We reported yesterday that he had a camera mounted outside or inside the room to record himself. We now find out that he had multiple cameras staged around, likely so he could determine if law enforcement was going to come to his room. He had one reportedly in the peephole.
Mm-hmm.
He had two outside. One of them was on a food cart next to the door, which likely meant that he set that one up right before the shooting or that day, because those food carts, they're not staying around outside of your door. You know, you order room service. When you're done, you push it out there. Most of the time, those are gone within a few hours. They come up and get them. So if that was still sitting there, likely he had just put it out there and, okay, this is going to go. 23 guns found in his room, 18 in his house in Mesquite, and 8 or so found in his home in Reno, Nevada. The ones, at least a couple of them in the room, and some of those pictures were leaked yesterday, we'll get to that in a minute, had bump stocks on them. The bump stocks are devices that turn semi-automatic weapons seemingly or pretty close to automatic weapons. What happens is it's the stock, the part of the gun that goes against your shoulder, if it's a long gun, and it attaches, so that stock also comes down to the trigger, and when you fire, the recoil causes the gun to fire the next round. Now, for those of you that know this, I apologize. I'm not a gun expert, and this is going to be common sense, or you're going to already know this. I apologize. For those that don't, you pull the trigger once, and one round comes out, and you have to pull it again to get a second round to come out, semi-automatic. Pull the trigger and hold it down, and bullets will spray, automatic. Well, when the gun recoils with these bump stocks, it automatically fires again and essentially turns it into an automatic weapon. He had several of them in the room. And my question yesterday was, why 23? Not that you can't own that many guns. Of course, you can own as many as you want. I don't care. But why would he think he needed that many? Well, if he's turning these semi-automatics into automatics, these things are going to heat up. And what happens?
The barrel.
They stop firing.
They stop firing. It gets too hot. and you can't fire anything through it.
Right. And he had magazines.
Yeah, he had like those, it looked like banana clip magazines. So one of the pictures, if you look at it, is one of those weapons on a bipod. And right in the corner of the pillar, you could see stacks of magazines stacked up.
And they're ones that hold over 30 rounds. I mean, they're 30 to 50. Again, not saying... Disclaimer time. Disclaimer. Do we have a bell or something for a disclaimer? Not saying that you can't have magazines, just showing what he was prepared to do. I don't want people thinking, oh, you think we should have to limit him? No, I don't think there should be any limitations. Have at it. Done. I'm just telling you what's there. Now, to the pictures that were released yesterday. And I tweeted out some of them. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Please follow me. Did we put them on Facebook as well?
We did. We did put them on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show. Also up there is the video about the Second Amendment, which hopefully you'll see and share. We did not put all of them that we found. Some of them are pretty graphic.
Very graphic.
One of them shows half of his body, the lower half. The other half, another picture shows the upper half of his body, complete with head wound and blood all over the place. Those were leaked. Not a lot of people are going to have access to those pictures.
No, not just that. The sheriff is just a tiny little angry. And
absolutely.
By tiny, I mean he is furious that those pictures were leaked. Now, here's why I have an issue with this.
Hang on. Somebody's going to lose their job.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think we should be kind of cuddled. Like, oh, you can't say this. I say release it all. Because it's no matter what, it's going to end up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
One of these people are just going to...
That was really fast, though.
But it was really fast. It was yesterday evening when I got home, like around 3 o'clock local time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, somebody sent it to me, like, they're like, hey, Chris, this just got posted. I was like, are you sure? Can we confirm that this is it? And I just saw, you know, all the normal news gathering people just posting it out there. But I'm saying that is really interesting. I just, for example, there's cameras. So there has to be footage. I think it should be released just so we know what happened. Because... as an American, I feel like we just need to know everything that happened and let me decide what is good for me.
Exactly. And hold on, disclaimer time. We're not being insensitive here. I'm just giving you facts about what happened. We're speculating about some of the other stuff. Of course, I feel horrible for anybody that was involved or any family member or even his siblings that love him. Me being Stephen Paddock.
Yes.
I don't want anybody to suffer. That's not what we're saying. We're just giving facts here. The pictures that were released, as soon as you sent them to me yesterday afternoon, I asked some of my coworkers and said, hey, you guys want to see the pictures? And all of them said, yeah. Only half of them said, I want to see the picture of him.
Yeah.
And I left it up to them. And I'm like, okay, I'm scrolling down. Look away if you don't want to see this one. Okay, here we go. And they saw and they wanted it. By the way, there is a short video of some of the pictures.
The door? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the door. Just go to theblaze.com and you can see it. I think the story's still up there. You can see the front. It's a double door because it was a suite. And one of the doors, they just smashed half of it down. And you can see the police tape and everything. If you're curious about it, it's up there as well. Oh, by the way, a couple of other observations about the pictures before we move on. Number one, the amount of rounds on the floor. The spent shells. It's like if you've ever been to a range.
Yes. And they forgot to clean up
afterwards. They didn't sweep their brass. It's all over.
Especially the graphic pictures where it shows the body. You could see all those rounds around him. And you could see the weapons. Actually, one I kept zooming in because I was a cop, so I love crime scene
looking
photos.
Looking at certain things, yeah.
And if you look one of the pictures on the top left, you could see the pillows laying on the floor next to the window.
Yeah, where he was knelt down using that as a... Because you don't want to hurt your knee when you're murdering... 59 people and injuring 500 more. You don't want to, you know, it's hard on the knees to do that.
And then you
hold on, disclaimer. My mocking him and making a joke about that is not to mock what happened to the people. It's satire to point out what a jackass this guy is, how despicable he was.
And you can also see the hammer, the tactical hammer that you talked about.
The bump stock?
Yeah.
The
hammer.
Yeah. Oh, really?
To break the window. You can see it. It's one of the pictures where the weapon is on its side and it's right in the corner between the one thing that I noticed, and actually I just saw MSNBC highlight it, was the piece of paper under the tape next to a pen on the little night table.
Oh, wait. Is there so a possibility that I'm to
know? We don't know.
It could have been a jackass checklist.
Yeah.
Here's the stupid things I'm going to do today.
Yeah.
Or it could be, you know, got a laundry list, could be a receipt, but there's a pen and a piece, maybe it's a note.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just right under the tape. And again, if you look at the picture, You know, if you want to know, just click on the pictures. Don't click on the graphic ones, but just click on the ones that we showed and zoom in. Just analyze it. Just think of yourselves like, okay, what is this all this stuff about?
One other observation. Damn, Mandalay Bay. Who decorated your hotel? Yeah. I mean, I hate to make... I got to pause a moment. Disclaimer. My attempted levity here and mocking just another observation is not to make light of the people who are killed or injured or anybody else who is suffering. I truly feel bad for it. But we also mock some of the other things because levity can be good, and satire also points out what a jackass this guy was. Having said that, damn Mandalay Bay.
I thought this was like a nice resort.
What was their theme? Cave?
Worst colors of carpeting.
When you first sent me the pictures, I was like, is this his home?
That's,
I thought it was his house.
No,
until I saw the body and I was like, there's a body. Oh, wait, that's the room?
That's what I was a little confused and worried that I sent it to you and then for you to post. I'm like, well, I don't want to give Doc the wrong information because it's an ugly ass hotel room.
Okay, 1 to 10, 10 being the best. How good were the decorations?
One.
Okay, Cal, spinning the dials, radio style for us. 1 to 10, 10 being the best. 1 to 10, their decorations.
-6.
I thought it was like a straw floor with the carpeting, with the stripes.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
What is going on there?
Yeah.
Okay, so hate to bring that up. All right. Also, we have more information on some of the activities of the shooter with regard to money and his girlfriend, who now is reportedly back in the country. The reason this stuff is so important, because we still don't have a motive. Without a motive, we don't know how to stop people like this from doing horrible things in the future. We still don't have a motive. And I'm beginning to speculate they may have a motive. They just haven't told us. We'll get some of those facts coming up, and also your calls. 888-727-BECK. It's 888-727-BECK. Doc Thompson from the Morning Blaze in for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
A little bit more about Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas murderer. And I say murderer because although shooter is accurate, it doesn't really give him his evil due. Some other information came out about him that he allegedly wired or sent $100,000 to the Philippines the week before this happened. Now, his significant other is from the Philippines. She has family there, or at least of Filipino descent, and she was there during the shooting.
Is that illegal?
To wire money? No.
To wire money?
No, not at all. It's just, why would he send $100,000, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean she was involved, not an indicator of her involvement, or it could be an indicator. Could be anything. He could have just said, I want to help your family out. Regardless of the shooting, he could say, hey, I'm going out with a bang and want to give some money to some people I like before I go. He could have said, hey, I'm sending you there and giving you money to help you out, and she knew. It's not an indicator of her involvement, but she is allegedly back in the country and they are talking to her now.
Yeah, she was met by FBI.
I imagine you would be. Now, some other things about him and the money. If he did have $100,000 to spend to send to them, and he was allegedly a millionaire, the questions of him having financial troubles, probably not as significant, knowing that at least he had that amount that he could just send. Not millions, but still. Also, he was spending $30,000 a day gambling in the days leading up to the shooting.
According to the casino. Like fascinating.
Right. Now, he was a big gambler anyway.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know if he was losing $30,000 a day or just gambling it. But $30,000 a day. We found out that in the past 3 years, he triggered more than 200 transaction reports at casinos. Now, what this means is casinos are required to file with the Treasury Department a Financial Crimes Enforcement Network form. And what that means is when a person withdraws or deposits more than $10,000 in cash, they have to fill this out. It's much like when you deposit that much in a bank. They have to, you know, make a note of it. And it keeps crime down, allegedly.
And is that illegal?
No.
Okay.
They did their due diligence, but he had a transaction that was over $10,000 200 times in the last 3 years is what that means. So he was a big gambler, just a little insight to his background, and he seemingly had a lot of money. Also, we found out he worked as a letter carrier for the post office from 76 to 78, and he was worked in the auditing department of the IRS from 78 to 84.
Okay, put him in jail.
Motives. This is...
the guy is
that's
crazy.
That's motives to me, right? That's what that is.
Working for the government.
Those are the facts as we know them now. We're still looking for a motive. I don't know what it is, but I'm increasingly believing that he was radicalized somehow, either by groups outside the country or just by his political views, his love or hatred of a certain political party or certain political figures. That's what I'm leading with. Hopefully those details will come out soon. Okay, just a touch more to get to on this, and then we're going to move on to Puerto Rico, open up the phone lines and get some of your calls coming up on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson from The Morning Blaze, along with Chris Cruz and Cal, who is spinning the dials radio style for us in for Glenn today. Pat Gray is going to be pinch hitting tomorrow and Friday for Glenn, and then Glenn is back on Monday. Appreciate you joining us. Just a touch more on Las Vegas before we move on and get some other news of the day. We'll also get some of your calls. 888-727-BECK. There is this big discussion right now, primarily from people on the left, primarily from liberals, who are very upset that not only has the media not labeled Stephen Paddock a terrorist, or this was a terrorist act, that President Trump did not do that. And they are very upset by this. And they have called out this as white privilege, that the reason we have not labeled him as a terrorist because Stephen Paddock is or was white, and therefore he's just called a lone wolf and not a terrorist. Do you know why they're not calling him a terrorist? Because at this point, he is not considered a terrorist. And it has nothing to do with his skin color or his religion, lack of religion, political views. This is really important to understand. Terrorism, terrorist, is a distinction that has certain criteria that has to be met. We use the term loosely, but it has to have a component of agenda or political or religious ideology attached to it. From Wikipedia, this is how terrorism is described. Terrorism is in its broadest sense, describes the use of intentionally indiscriminate violence as a means to create terror or fear to achieve a political, religious, or ideological aim. Criminal law professor Frank Bowman said it's impossible to legally label an action terrorism until a motive has been determined. We do not know his motive. Therefore, we can't determine if it was political, religious, or ideological. He could have simply been somebody who said, "I think it would be fun to murder a lot of people." That would not be classified terrorism. Did he terrorize people? Was it heinous? Was it horrible? Was it terrorist-like? Did it feel similar to terrorist acts? Yes, absolutely. But to say terrorism or terrorist has to have that element to it. In fact, this criminal law professor said, "The thing that really distinguishes terrorism from any other offense is not so much the nature of the conduct, it is the actual or intended effect. It's not what somebody does. It is instead why they are doing it. And it is not, well, as long as you have a why, it was terrorism. It has to be a specific why." Stephen Paddock's motive has not yet been released. Do they know? Possibly. But they have not told us. U.S. Code. The official U.S. Code on domestic terrorism said it has to have an act appeared to be intended, number one, to intimidate or coerce a civilian population. Number two, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. So, when people are saying, "How come you're not calling it terrorism? It's because he's a white guy." No, because we don't know what his motive was. We don't know if his motive was political or religious. Until we do, we can't.
We're getting more information now saying law enforcement is reporting that last weekend, Stephen tried to get a room overlooking a music festival a few miles away from the Route 91 Music Festival. So last weekend he tried to rent a room.
Do we know what hotel?
No, they're not reporting that. But they're saying that last weekend he tried to get a room overlooking another music festival. I guess he couldn't do it.
At the same venue? Likely?
No, it's a couple miles north, they're saying, out of...
Trying to think what the other music venues. I don't think those are open. There's other open air ones. There may be one.
Yeah.
It's been a while since.
So that's, we're getting a little bit more information.
Also, did they say he rented this same room a year ago or 8 months ago? Or is that conflated with this?
Yeah, that was a little confusing.
Okay, that's confusing.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. But the music festival was Life is Beautiful Festival, headlined by some rapper. It was supposed to be, it was the 22nd to the 24th.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he tried to do it last weekend.
If he could have been scouting it out, or this could have been the plan, but that changes if it was a different type of music. For people who have speculated, maybe it was political. All right, until we know a motive, we can't determine if it was terrorism. All right, phone calls finally. Sorry to make you wait so much. 888-727-BECK. Dave in the Buckeye State, how are you?
How you doing, Doc?
Good, sir.
One thing that's kind of ironically just weird, this has been going on with all the media, is that Mandalay Bay and all the casinos there's a lot of money there, right? And
yes.
I'd imagine the security force and the cameras that they have, it's got to be like Fort Knox.
You have no idea how many. It is like NASA when you see the video screens.
The only thing you're seeing from the media is people's handheld phones at the show. You never see, they say, well, he bring all these weapons in. Well, here he is carrying more bags. You know, you never see Mandalay Bay or any other casinos around there seeing this guy or even showing where he's up there firing. You're just seeing handheld phones recording this, and you're being told. I'm not the conspiracy theory.
Right, right.
The guy was a nut job, but by not doing this, you're just leaving that open for people to say, because something does seem wrong. This guy was 64 years old, never really had a record. And
I think that's part of the reason Chris Cruz said that we should see the pictures or have the option, and I agree, is because you open it up in today's world to crazy Alex Jones type conspiracy theories. And
right.
We need, remember, to be involved in our government and have good good outcome, we have to have good input, and we need information to make good decisions.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's just with, like I say, it's just some of the stuff where the media, the way they handle stuff, and of sports especially,
right.
Where the election with fake news, that's just feeding
right.
into people. No, I'm serious. That's
You're right, yeah.
Feeding into people that, you know, everybody's on the internet coming up with, well, this guy, and it's hard. I mean, that's why the police chief, he's like, we don't want to say anything because we're not sure, because they don't want to start just mentioning things and people be like, well, you said this a week
Agreed.
Ago. Well, you know what I mean? So it's a weird thing, but it's a sick thing that happened, and it's very sickening for basically them to just right off the bat, oh, the guns.
Right.
It's the person. If the guy, there's a festival, he rented a truck and drove right in the festival, what, are you going to start taking people's license away? You
right.
know, I mean, it's very sickening, and it's a real tragedy that it's horrible.
Well, Dave, thanks. I appreciate the comments, Dave. Thank you so much. He's right about that, but it's ironic that the people who keep saying, how come you're not calling it terrorism, are the same people, because of his whiteness, right, the people on the liberals, mm-hmm. how come you're not calling it terrorism, are the same people blaming the gun.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, is it terrorism? Then why are you blaming the gun? Number two, we need to know motive before we can call it terrorism. When it comes down to motive, why are you worried about the gun? See what I'm saying? Now, one thing I will say to Dave's point where he said about all the cameras, and I lived in Vegas in the 90s and have some friends who had worked security at hotels, some other friends that worked in there. When you go into the secure rooms where they have it, and now I'm sure it's even more high tech, it's just monitors all over the walls, dozens and dozens of monitors, because they have multiple cameras on every table, multiple cameras all over the casino floor, not directly on tables. They have cameras everywhere, but almost all of the cameras at a casino, at these properties, are inside and surrounding the casino floor or cage. They do have other cameras on their property outside. They do have other ones in hotel lobbies. They have them in the hallways, stuff like that. But most of them are inside. Remember, he was shooting out of the 32nd floor. So there would likely be no cameras aimed at the 32nd floor. It would be out on the street. and even those would be more limited. Likely there are some from out in front of some of the casinos that would have some vantage point with video. But what's more interesting and shocking is that we haven't seen any videos, even what was happening inside on the casino floor, because you know those people start, wait, people getting shot outside? Wait, what?
Yeah, people leaving.
Leaving, coming and going, or in the hotel hallways of him walking to and from the room with those bags. That, and that would be up to the Mandalay Bay to release. Likely police have gotten that information from Mandalay.
And it's evidence.
Or police are not releasing it because it's evidence.
So I was able to do a little bit more research on the hotel that he tried to get last weekend.
Yes, do we know which one it was?
It was the Ogden, O-G-D-E-N.
Ogden, I'm not sure where that is.
So I'm looking at I'm looking at a picture here, and it is right across the street from the concert grounds that took place, the beautiful Life is Beautiful concert.
Right.
Open air, just like the last one. The Ogden, I don't know where it is, but I'll show you.
Yeah, if it's right across.
Yeah, so it's really interesting that you could see the same advantage point that he had for these the Mandalay Bay. Actually, this one has a better vantage point than the Mandalay Bay because you're right across the street from it. And it's like two towers.
It's actually on the same side of the strip as it looks like. So it's not across the street. It would be across but behind. So, wow.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows why he was doing that? Interesting. All right, we'll get some more calls coming up here. Let's get to Mick in Ohio. Hey, Mick, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, sir.
Glad to be on. Hey, I just had a real quick one on the bump stock. If people want to get a good idea, because everybody's trying to explain it, if you know a carpenter that uses a nail gun, if you try to fire a nail gun in between two studs, the recoil of it just keeps firing until you can get your finger off the trigger. I mean, and I've shot automatic weapons before when I was in the military, so it's very similar to the same kind of action that happens.
It's funny, and Mick, thanks so much for the clarification. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the call too. Jason Buttrell, who is a chief researcher for Glenn Beck, in the hallway yesterday was chatting with me about this. He has a military history. He's been involved in a lot of special ops. He works with Operation Underground Railroad and some other stuff. Really sharp guy. And we talked about this bump stock. Jason and I are like-minded in that I don't think there should be restrictions on automatic weapons. A lot of you listening are like, I can't believe you'd say that. I'm a proud Second Amendment supporter, Doc, but I can't, you know, have people run around with automatic weapons. Well, as we know, they're already outlawed anyways, but I know it's all a slippery slope. So it's all or nothing in my mind. Therefore, I'd rather have all with no restrictions. So Jason says, yeah, he doesn't believe in there's restrictions. But we also both agreed that if the law says that we cannot have automatic weapons, these bump stocks are circumventing it. They should be illegal.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Within the context of, I think they should all be legal.
Yes.
But if you have a law and you're circumventing it this other way, that's BS.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
It's like a Band-Aid.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you
found a loophole around it.
Yes.
And that's not right.
No.
So they shouldn't be. Again, maybe they need a disclaimer here. I, Doc Thompson, do not support restrictions on the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed. Number of weapons, types of weapons. You want to have a nuclear device? I'm fine with it. Good to go. Is that good enough? Is that all right?
That's good, yeah.
All right, more tweets. Probably disclaimers coming up as well. And some of your calls on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Join the program, 888-727-BECK, or follow at Doc Thompson Show and tweet at me. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Some tweets coming in right now.
You got Eric Miller, What I Learned Today. Just found your show, Doc. Subscribe on iTunes, and that Chris Cruz is witty and funny.
That's the tweet you came up with to read.
Oh, no, there's more, but I just want to, you know, he says...
That's the one of all the ones you could read.
He found you, and he subscribed to your channel.
Seems a little self-serving there.
And, you know, Chris Cruz is witty and funny.
Is that even a real tweet?
I know, it's like...
Kyle, when you read those tweets, you also pick the ones that highlight your...
highlights me.
That tweet was from at Chris Cruz's mom in Florida. that's who it is.
At real Chris Cruz's
mom in Florida, something like that. Yeah, by the way, he didn't mention that Chris's whole, he was going to stay at the Ogden information was a little bit off.
What do you mean?
The Ogden is downtown Vegas. If it's on Fremont Street, it's downtown.
Okay. I did not know
where it was.
Okay.
Opposite
the report
end.
Said a couple miles north of the Mandalay Bay. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's just up the street.
No, no. Main gambling hubs in Vegas.
Okay.
You got the Strip between Sahara and then the South End.
Okay.
And then the Strip continues, although the Stratosphere is north of Sahara and whatever. Those the main gambling hub there, or Fremont Street with the Fremont Street Experience. But I wasn't familiar with the Ogden. Looks like a nice place. Looks very sharp.
It does.
I like it.
It does. It does. You also got Mr. D. Camp Director tweeting out, TMB disclaimer, is the Doc Thompson responsible for your own feelings of inadequacy or stupidity?
Inadequacy?
Yeah.
Inadequacy?
I received a lot of emails yesterday, about like six, of saying that I should quit radio because I can't pronounce words.
Wow, that's really harsh.
I think that's the name of the submarine you take down below, the inadequacy.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that what it is? Yeah. Thank you, Kyle. You know, what can I do... Hal, thank you.
No, and what people have to remember, yes, Spanish is your first language, having grown up in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
But although English is a challenge, you speak two languages poorly. Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Really?
You speak two languages poorly.
Poorly?
What? I'm sorry, what? How is your Spanish?
Okay. So... Over the weekend, I'm trying to communicate with the San Juan mayor, and I realized, I was like, oh my God, I forgot Spanish. I'm in Google Translate, trying to translate my own language. I'm like, I can't even form this. And some of the tweeters that are following from Puerto Rico, they're like,
hey, Chris, what is this? You're like a third grader.
You're not making any sense here. That's right, your sentence structure is completely wrong.
Wow.
I'm like, oh my God, I know English or Spanish. So I'm in the middle.
How do you say inadequacy in Spanish?
Inadequacy? I don't even know what it is. What is it?
We don't know.
Inadequacy.
I don't know.
He's inadequate. That's ironic. by the way, yesterday, two workers were spotted in Las Vegas outside of, I think, the Wynn Hotel. In sports, blue jackets, sports coats, black pants, working for the hotel. Next to them, a table with metal detectors.
Going in or out?
As people went into the Wynn to check in, they began checking bags with metal detectors.
No.
This is what's being reported. They said that it was about a 10-minute long wait to get into the Wynn. And the Wynn says, yes, they are going to now check bags. What do you feel about that, Chris Cruz?
That makes no sense, Doc Thompson.
Here's the reason this doesn't make sense. Based on the fact of where else do we get this level of screening?
TSA.
How has that worked out for us?
Horrible.
Okay, now, this is private, so it would probably be more effective than TSA. It's not government. But here's something you need to remember. The Wynn... Do you know how many rooms these hotels have in them?
Hundreds. Thousands?
The Wynn has 4,750 rooms.
Wow. But isn't there like different entrances? Because I remember when I stayed at the Pyramid.
Yeah, they have a lot
there's
of
different entrances.
But usually these are big resorts. They're huge in Vegas. And they have one main entrance to check in. But you could go in other entrances as well. But yeah, that means you're going to... Are they going to segregate where you can only get into the area where you stay if you go through the metal detector? And then what if I head out on the Strip and then I come back in? Are the people are going through them or just the bags? And then could I just put a gun on me and get through? And then how about the people that work there? There are countless ways to cheat this. This is, in my opinion, so far, the illusion of security. Now, the Wynn is not the biggest hotel in Vegas. There are others. What if they all follow suit?
Yeah.
Phoenix is the number 10th most number of hotel rooms by city in the U.S. It has 62,000.
Wow.
Las Vegas has 170,000.
Wow.
Just to put it into perspective, Orlando has 120. Six of the top 10 hotels by number of rooms in the world are in Las Vegas. All of them, thousands. I remember when the MGM opened in 1993, I think it was, they had 5,009 rooms. 25 of the top 50s by room hotels by room number are in Las Vegas. Do you know what this is going to do to the lines as you check in?
Glenn Beck. the Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn, along with Chris Cruz and Cal. Thanks so much for joining us. All right, moving on now. We got to get some of the other news of the day, including President Trump in Puerto Rico. And before we go any farther, I'm going to need a disclaimer at this point. Hi, Doc Thompson. Support much of what the president has done. I think he has been unfairly at times criticized in the media. I did not vote for him. Of course, I did not vote for that heinous person, Hillary Clinton, because I vote on track record and she is a progressive. Trump didn't have much of a track record, and what he did, I question. That's the reason I did not support him. I do, of course, support him as president, hope he does good things, and I've given him fairly high marks on things like the Supreme Court nominee that he put forth. Having said all of that, we will now begin to criticize President Trump.
Like
was that
it.
All right? Was that
like
all right?
It.
That was pretty
like
good
it.
Off the top
yeah.
of the head there.
We just need you to do, you know how they do the disclaimer.
Exactly right. You need to do it much faster.
Yeah, much faster.
Speed it up there a little bit. All right. President Trump has been pretty good with the handling of natural disasters. He did what a president does. You open up the purse strings. Hey, there's going to be FEMA money, natural disaster, all of this. Both the the governors of Florida and Texas did a good job for the two hurricanes that came through. Yep. But President Trump was very good there. They tried to criticize him, they being the media and people on the left, for those two. It didn't happen. He did a pretty good job. With Puerto Rico, early on, did a pretty good job. They were not letting it be. They had to come out and find some ways to criticize him. He has done a pretty good job. I was fine with him criticizing the mayor of San Juan.
Yep. Julian Cruz.
She is clearly a leftist. She was pretending like, President Trump was leaving them high and dry, even though he had opened up the purse strings. He had sent the military, the National Guard. He sent the trauma ship. He did all of those things, worked on repealing the Jones Act, even if only temporary. All of these things. Having said all of that, when he went to Puerto Rico, he looked kind of goofy. What are you doing?
I like him, though. I really, it's a side that I like from Trump. When he is, you know, visiting people like this, I actually, when I saw him, I was super excited. He did not let me down. Everything that he did, literally check my boxes of, okay, this guy's
even the throw in the paper towels.
Oh, man, he had a good follow-up, man. He's all about the follow-up. You know, he's like, ching. He knows.
Yeah.
We do provide good basketball players. I'll give him that. We do provide good basketball player. He was like, all right, Puerto Rico,
Here's your chance. A good jump shot, but at the full court press, he's horrible. He's not playing good D, Chris. He's not hustling down to the other end of the court. And where's his rebounding?
That is true.
Okay, jump shot
suicides, you know, more suicides.
So they're saying you want to apply him as a jump shot specialist or something.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
that's fine.
Yes.
But, you know, you got to play both ends of the court.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So that's the type of sports talk you normally don't get on the Glenn Beck Program. And by that, I mean sports talk. Okay, so I was fine with that. It was a little silly. They were criticizing him. But his comments about money and the budget in Puerto Rico, not inaccurate. I know he's a guy who just kind of, you know, throws it out there. You got to know you're going to step in it. I know he's not concerned about the media criticizing him or the left or anything like this. But you're not as effective of a leader when you say things like he said. All right, here's President Trump talking about the budgets.
Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
This goes to my point when we started the show that we don't give each other the benefit of the doubt anymore.
No, we don't.
He brought it back a little bit when he said, listen, people have died. That's fine. He was drawing a comparison to Katrina. That's fine. But that's going to get you in trouble every time.
Mm-hmm.
As much as many people did not give him the benefit of the doubt that he did not mean bad things, he also did not realize that there's a lot of people hurting right now. There's a lot of people in Puerto Rico that are struggling. So when you lay out facts that way, they come across insensitive. And in normal circumstances, we'd say, come on, man up, get a little tougher there. And that's fine. But while people are still in this much peril, I mean, there are people that are still facing All kinds of challenges, health challenges, food, shelter in Puerto Rico. Maybe the president drawing what seemed like a callous comparison, not very timely. Worst thing he's done, horrible. No, probably shouldn't have gone there. Do you agree?
I agree, but he was right with that first comment about Puerto Rico mishandling their money. It's one of the things, even when I visited Puerto Rico, I think it was last year, I looked around and I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? You know, to be a beautiful island, you know, touristic San Juan, and you have all these wasting money, where is it going?
Well, Puerto Rico just had a default. They just went through billions of dollars. This has been something they've been struggling with for decades. They keep trying to get out in front of it. Yeah, the poor economy hurt everybody. There was a bond issue, like a lot of different places in America, states, cities, whatever. That was an issue. But you're supposed to plan for these things. You have to have politicians, or supposed to have politicians, just like you do in your business or personal life, that say during the lean times when we have, or during the fatty times when you have stuff coming in, you've got to put some things away and plan for the lean times, and they do not do it. Puerto Rico has had some sketchy politicians, some people who have not done what's right. They have not prepared it. And we are going to be on the hook at one point for the debt of loss of Puerto Rico like we would be anywhere else. One way or another, that's coming. Trump even suggested that.
Yeah, and then Trump also said that he's going to wipe out the debt. Puerto Rico bonds.
How's he doing that?
After, I do not know, but he says...
Anything that is owed to the government that he has control over? First of all, I don't know if he can unilaterally do that as president. He likely would have some money that would be owed through the executive branch if it was things like military where he could... wipe it out by paying for it somewhere else or something. But he is not exclusively in control, nor is he to any bond debt that would be owed to people outside of the federal government.
So this is a quote that he says. He says, they owe a lot of money to our friends on Wall Street, and we're going to have to wipe that out. You're going to say goodbye to that. I don't know if it's Goldman Sachs, but whoever it is, you can wave goodbye to that.
Okay, so he wasn't talking the government or the executive branch. He was talking about people on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the problem. Wall Street is not some inanimate object that is not connected to people. Wall Street means a system of investors and ways to invest, companies, organizations that govern and regulate or you invest through. And who invests? People. So it's easy to say, you're going to have to say goodbye to that. You're just going to have to do that when you're not the one who loses money. It's not just Mr. Goldman Sachs. Hello, everybody. I'm Mr. Sachs. You can call me Goldman as sure for short. And I have trillions of dollars and I'm able to just forgive a few million dollars here and there because I'm wealthy, Mr. Sachs. Blah, blah, blah. No. Goldman Sachs is a company that invests money. For who? For people. So if they say goodbye to that money, they're saying goodbye to the money from people who invested in Puerto Rico. How about you're the little old lady in Indiana who invested part of your retirement in something that invested in Puerto Rico? Should she say goodbye to that money? Of course not. Now, there are risks that come with it. And if he simply meant, well, there are risks and that money's gone, they defaulted or whatever, that's fine. But if he means that we should just give that up, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not for him to say.
And the market actually responded to that. So it took a...
Now, if he's talking about a reset, yes, we have to reset. Of course, there's going to... And by the way, there's eventually going to be a reset in the market. Is it today? I don't know. Is it 5 years from now? I don't know. Eventually, though, it will reset. That's what markets do. It is inflated right now. Eventually, it will reset, whether that reset takes it down 1% or 40%. That's what eventually will happen. Stay out of the markets. Leave them alone.
Yeah, it took a hit. Actually, went dropped to 33 cents on the dollar, where just last month, it was trading around 56 cents on the dollar.
All right, another clip of your president in Puerto Rico. Here we go.
Well, we're going to help the people. You know, look, this had a lot of problems and a lot of debt. They had $72 billion in debt before the hurricanes hit.
Okay.
And they had a power plant that didn't work before the hurricane. So we're going to help them. We're going to do something.
Good.
And we're going to get it back on its feet. But I'm just very, very proud of the fact that, you know, if you look at just one statistic, 16 deaths, that's a lot of deaths, far too many deaths. But 16, if you look at Katrina, they had in the thousands. Mm. And this was a storm the likes of which nobody has ever seen. And, you know, we had FEMA here before the storm even came. They were on the island during the storm, and they were on the island before the first storm. You got hit by two hurricanes. So we're very proud of the job we've done, very, very proud. And now we'll have to try and get them back. The power is slowly getting on, and the roads are open. The runways are open. So it's these people that you've met today, all of the different people, first responders, these are incredible people.
I totally agree.
All right, he's accurate that FEMA was there. He did do a good job. I gave him his props. The $72 billion, you're right, that's how much they were out and they defaulted on. And power plant, trouble, sure. The grid has some trouble. What does he mean we're going to take care of that?
Yeah, that's not a thing that kind of like scares me. Again, Puerto Rico is my country, well, my island. Love the Morado. But what does that mean? Because if a president's saying, hey, we're going to take care of it, last time I checked, well, this president has money. But last time I checked, most of the money that they say they're going to use from the government doesn't own any
the
money.
The government doesn't have any money. It's my money.
So
it's your
my
money.
It's
our money.
So that means that I'm going to pay for
it. Yes, exactly. Now, so where's that coming from? If he, and it's fine to lead on this, but if he was saying we're just going to pony up money, I'm happy to help people in Puerto Rico, even with public funds. But I need assurances, just like I do in the rest of America, that you are actually doing what you have to do. Balance your budget, start paying down the national debt, start finding a way to pay for those unfunded liabilities that are going to come up over the next 10 years. Do all of those things. By the way, get your spending under control. Come up with a new tax plan. Repeal Obamacare. You've got to do all of those things before you promise to build a power plant in Puerto Rico or bail them out of $72 billion. Now, if the president wants to lead on some sort of primarily private slash public partnership, fine. Puerto Rico, there is an opportunity to make money for all of us to make money, for Puerto Rico to be kind of a testing ground. It's 3.5-4 million people, something
yeah,
like that.
Around, yeah.
Not huge geographically, but I think broadcast market, San Juan is top 20 now, top 15, something like that. And it is American territory. Those are Americans. Well, if you have to rebuild the grid right now and so much was taken down, Chris, let's do it right. Let's use fiber optics. Let's do Wi-Fi throughout the island. Let's do all of this stuff. Now, the government can't pay for it, but if you show people an investment opportunity and we say, hey, people of Puerto Rico, I as a private company and other private companies want to build, and this will be a bigger tourist destination, there's opportunities there. Lead that way. That's awesome.
No, it is too. And then we learned this morning during our morning headlines that Google is sending Wi-Fi balloons to connect people back to the internet.
They're what?
They're sending Wi-Fi balloons, hot air balloons.
Google, one of the largest and most profound technology companies in the world today, that has been a trendsetter for a decade or more, that is on the cutting edge of things we don't even understand. Their big technological solution to helping Puerto Rico right now get Wi-Fi established is a balloon.
Come on. It's Wi-Fi balloons.
Balloon technology? This is it. Don't worry, folks. We're deploying the most advanced balloon technology available to help. We're here to help. We have balloons. Stand by, Puerto Rican. Hang on. We're inflating them now. You'll be up in no time. We've got our IT balloon guys on the ground. They have made landfall. Mac Thompson in for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Got an idea for Puerto Rico. Ready?
I'm ready.
Wi-Fi kites. We fly kites. I mean, it's windy. It's an island, right? And you got the Wi-Fi. All right, a little bit more from President Trump now in Puerto Rico.
All appropriate departments of our government, from Homeland Security to Defense, are engaged fully in the disaster and the response and recovery effort probably has never been seen for something like this. This is an island surrounded by water, big water, ocean water.
Breaking news, guys. Doc, breaking news.
Yes,
President Donald J. Trump has cracked it. An island is surrounded by water, but not just any water.
No.
Ocean water.
Small ocean water?
Big, huge ocean water.
Chris, we go to Chris Cruz now, Puerto Rican and correspondent in Puerto Rico. Can you confirm, is it in fact an island?
I can confirm it is an island.
I want you to look out. Do you see ocean water?
I do see ocean.
Is it ocean water?
It is ocean water.
Is it big ocean water?
It is big ocean water.
Have you walked the entire island surrounded on all sides?
All sides.
Not just three sides.
Not just three sides.
That would be a peninsula.
Exactly.
So this is in fact an island.
This is, yes.
Just like Florida.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no.
No.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
All right. Before the break, we played a clip of President Trump. I want to play this clip again.
We did.
Again, this is him discussing Puerto Rico and that it's an island.
Here this is an island surrounded by water. Big water, ocean water.
We have confirmed that it is an island surrounded by water, big water, ocean water. We have, in fact.
We Chris have Cruz, confirmed.
Chris Cruz has a dry erase board where he's drawn.
And it's...
This is not to scale, right?
It is not to... I do not want to scare people out there.
Okay,
this
good.
Is not to scale. And this is a little rough draft here. As you can see in purple is Puerto Rico. And we have water on all four sides.
Would make it an island.
Yes.
By definition.
So this is confirmed. And I looked at a map. Could not print it out. So I did my best to draw
I appreciate
Puerto Rico.
That. With the limited time you had, that's well done. We'll tweet out a picture of it as well.
Yes.
Here, folks. I get what the president was saying. I know he was saying we've done all this stuff and logistically it's more difficult because it's an island. Right? That's kind of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I get that he was then trying to stress it's big water. I mean, it's ocean water between them. He's just not as articulate, but it's still damn funny.
It's funny. And again, it goes back to
I'm not mocking him. I know what he meant.
Yeah.
He's just not as articulate. Got it. But it's still funny.
The thing about it, too, is I knew something was going to happen. It's Trump. This is one of the good things I like about Trump.
There's something to see.
There's something to see.
Spectacle.
There's, something's going to happen where either he's going to say something that is funny or he's going to say something that offends people. And it's still funny for me because I'm like, he just poked you in the eye.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But when he said that, I was like, okay, so you got him doing layups. You know, he's doing layups over there.
With the paper towels.
And then now you got him about Puerto Rico has, big water.
Okay, let me hear President Trump one more time. One more time, just to make sure.
This is an island. Surrounded by water, big water, ocean water.
Given that it is an island,
yes,
surrounded by water, big water, ocean water.
Yes,
we have another concern.
Oh wait, what?
We go now to Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
Good, good. Okay, so Hank Johnson had some concerns that it could tip over and capsize, but the admiral has set him straight.
So we go back to the island.
Yes, the picture. So, not to scale.
Again, I don't want to scare people.
Right.
If you put all the people, all Puerto Ricans on this side.
That side.
On this side.
Is it possible it could capsize?
It will not capsize.
It will not tip over.
It will not tip over. Okay. It will not capsize. We are safe to say that all Puerto Ricans can move, all 3 million, I think it was what we
said. Yes, 3.5,
can move to this side right here.
And
to
you're going
to
be fine.
Rio Grande.
It will not.
It will be fine.
Right.
It's okay. So do not be scared to
okay,
what you
just
heard.
Okay, what were those names you just threw out there?
Luquillo, Rio Grande.
Are those cousins of yours? Are those
no,
people
no,
those you
are
know?
Towns actually in
oh,
Puerto
those
Rico.
Are towns in
yeah,
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you got, I thought you were talking to people individually that
no,
would move.
No, no, no. You know, you got, oh. you got Luquillo right here, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Rio Piedra.
Okay.
You know, you got, it's okay to be there.
Now, do you know island law?
I do know island law. Okay. I'm actually...
I know you know more about bird law.
Okay. I do know more about bird law. You can say that I graduated from Bird University.
Okay. Very good. Very good there. All right. Of course, Hank Johnson there, representative from Georgia. Yeah. They have voted this guy as a congressman repeatedly, and he's still in office. This guy, that was when he was talking about Guam and could it tip over. Now, they came out afterwards. That was one of my favorite clips ever in the history of the world. And said, no, he meant metaphorically tip over, you know, economically. Bull. Bull crap. He thought an island is like a giant raft. You just tip over, you enough people. Of course he thought that. The guy's a goof. And did you see the people behind the admiral where they're like,
oh, God.
Oh my God.
Did he say that?
We're on camera.
Uh-oh.
We won't allow. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't have done it. I would have been fired that day. If I had been on the admiral's staff, I would have been fired that day because I would have gone, ah, oh, my gosh. He really thinks it's tipped over. Oh, my gosh. Wait, I'm fired? Okay, sorry.
It's worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it.
And then the admiral's like, how do I handle this? Okay. We're pretty sure that it will not capsize and tip over. Awesome stuff. All right, get your tweets in if you would. Tweet at Doc Thompson Show if you got any comments. We'll get some calls coming up. 888-727-BECK. Got some tweets coming in now. We'll get to those. And then also some calls. Let me get to a call here. Let's go to Mississippi on David. David, thanks for holding. How are you?
I just want to thank Hank Johnson for representing us in Georgia. Well.
Please tell me you don't live in his district.
I don't live in his district, okay. No, but yeah. Anyway,
okay.
So you were talking about the Wi-Fi balloons, and when I did my stint with the Marine Corps, they had some Air Force guys talking about some of this technology because it'd be able to give us better intelligence and more accurate and up-to-date information on the ground. So what it is they're setting up an infrastructure, and that's what Google's trying to do. And with Google being our great overlord that it is,
mm-hmm.
as they set up businesses and they have people come in there to do the things you were talking about, you know, setting up companies or what have you to help rebuild, Google's already going to have all that information for them.
Oh, yeah.
So the Wi-Fi balloon mm-hmm. is more than just internet. I mean, mm-hmm. they're creating a complete communication structure via satellite to be able to go ahead and get everybody where they need to be instead of using landlines like they have been in Puerto Rico for the last, God knows.
Mm-hmm. Forever. We're still on landline. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have good good coverage, which is sad. I mean, being an island, and it is mountainous at times, you put up some good towers up there, you'd cover most of the island.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, Dave, we were mocking it. It's actually probably a pretty good thing in the short term. I wish somebody, whenever there's these disasters, whether it's in Puerto Rico or you get a tornado that wipes out a town in Oklahoma or something like that, I wish we would pause and take a moment to rebuild better and think about the future. But thanks so much for the call. The ridiculous one, I think, though, is when the military was using dirigibles. What are they called? Blimps.
Oh, for the war?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, seriously? These things are targets. Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, an hour of this. We've gone 14 feet. We've gone 14 feet. You know how slow blimps are? When they would have the Goodyear blimp back in the day, leaving from Akron, and they're like, okay, we got the big game. It's going to be in New York this coming up year. We're going to have it on Monday Night Football. They left 6 months early.
And we're coming up. Hold on. Wait a minute. We're almost there.
Yep.
Do not start
the
game.
Wait a minute. There was a big wind. There was a big wind. Hang on. We have to restart this thing. No, it really is. And they had these blimps that they were out there on the battlefield. Now, it's smart because it gives them a vantage point and they could have cameras and they could see. I get that. But it also is a big, slow target. I mean, your enemies aren't like, oh, there's a big blimp up there spying on us. We should just probably leave that alone and let them spy on us, right?
Well, it's not only big. It's so big that the actual usage of the blimp is like about like this tiny. So it's not like you could...
Oh,
like,
yeah. The blimp is huge in order to get equipment that is about the size of a suitcase.
Exactly.
Because the equipment's also heavy. So yeah, it's like a big slow target. It's probably why Target stores never had a sponsored a blimp, right? Probably be a bad thing for it there.
That is.
All right, let's get to some tweets now. It's at Doc Thompson Show. If you want to tweet at Chris, it's at Real Chris Cruz and at Cal79. We're all from the Morning Blaze. More about us, just go to theblazeradio.com.
You got Rocky saying, that's a terrible drawing of Puerto Rico. Terrible.
What does she know?
Well, yeah. Well, she's Puerto Rican, so she knows.
Has she been there, though?
She.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe she knows.
She's been.
I challenge her to do better, and feel free to tweet it at us.
I do. I lost this one, so. Oh, there we go. Sarah DeRoma saying, I need that audio for my Friday geography class that I teach.
Okay, so yes. She knows how to make
yes.
sure. So I'm
please
assuming.
Please educate your.
Okay, good. And I'm assuming good. She would say, okay, students, today we're going to learn about islands.
Yes.
And number one, they are surrounded by water.
Yes. And big I want water. Her to do mm-hmm. a drawing like this. I want her. I actually want her to do this. Actually, you know, this is a Chris Cruz Puerto Rico drawing, mm-hmm. patent pending.
So is,
TM. There's a TM over
that's
here.
That's trademark, not oh, okay. patent, but okay.
So mm-hmm. you're allowed to use this okay. To show your
do
students.
Do they have to give you credit?
No. Okay. But you know what? I'm
do you
a,
like
I'm
credit
a man.
At the bottom, the Morning
no,
Blaze,
you know
something
what?
Like
no,
that, Chris Cruz
I'm a
production.
Man of the people. Okay. I want them to learn.
You're willing to share your wealth yes. of knowledge. And okay.
Yes.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that. Have you thought about professional map making?
I thought about it.
Does it conflict with your bird law?
It does because you know when I do my actually what I'm actually getting to the point where I can combine both of them.
Bird law and map making.
Yes, because I could talk to the birds. I just
oh, gotcha.
I know a little bit of pigeon.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit of pigeon.
Let me hear that sounds like you know just yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, there's four people that get that joke.
Yes,
there's four people that watch yes. the show and they get that joke.
Yes.
Mitchell Elementary School in Needham, Massachusetts has. Like most schools, have had a traditional Halloween party over the years in which classrooms get together, kids dress up, they share little treaters, right? Sometimes they trick-or-treat here and there, they have a costume parade. But this year, Mitchell Elementary School in Needham, Massachusetts is ending the Halloween party.
Aww.
They will no longer have Halloween festivities at the school.
They're the devil, right? Is that what it is?
No, I would respect that more.
Okay.
I still think that's BS too, but no. There's another reason.
Girls wearing, you know, like...
Oh, something inappropriate.
Because
everything becomes yeah. the slutty whatever
yeah.
costume. No.
Okay.
I want you to think about this a minute. I'm going to get a break in. I'm going to come back and tell you why they have canceled it. And we'll get your thoughts on
I
it.
I think
coming
I know.
Up. What do you have?
It's the tease.
Oh, the tease after the break.
Yeah,
after this on the morning. Yeah. Actually, on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Mitchell Elementary School, Needham, Massachusetts, canceling their traditional Halloween festivities. The school said not all families celebrate Halloween, and therefore they decided to stop holding the festivities in order to avoid excluding some children. Not all families celebrate Halloween, therefore they would exclude some children.
I actually thought about something else. I thought it was about cultural appropriation, since we're getting so
from
crazy.
From Transylvania?
Yeah.
You've culturally appropriated yeah. the stuff?
I thought it was. You know, like people dressing like Indians.
Now, we always have that.
Yeah.
I mean, trust me, in the last...
The Mexican hat.
In Massachusetts, the last 10 years, nobody's dressing as cowboys and Indians. They're not dressing as, you know, anything like that. They're not dressing with sombreros, anything like that. But now this takes it to a new level. Yes, there's a lot of Christians even who don't celebrate Halloween. They think it is anti-Christian. I disagree. At this point, it's a silly, stupid, fun holiday for kids to dress up and get candy. Yeah. I know the history of it, as long as you know the difference. But, I mean, of course, it's up to you. Raise your kids how you want, and I support that. But why are you shutting it down for everybody because some don't celebrate it?
It's like the whole thing where I'm going to punish everybody just because of one person.
Right. So... In the past, you would shut things down like Christmas parties,
mm-hmm.
which was wrong because not everybody's a Christian. Or you'd have other, you know, then we're going to shut down Hanukkah because not everybody's Jewish or whatever it is. But those were based on religion. As wrong as it was to shut them down, it was exclusionary based on religion. And if you take part in it, you're saying, okay, we're forcing or allowing kids to take part in some other religious exercise. This is very different. This is simply... an event that some kids choose not to be a part of. It's not actually religious. You could say your religion is excluding your children or you don't want them there because of your religion, but it's not a religious holiday. No, you see the difference?
Not. Yeah, I'm trying.
So this would be like this would be like saying, I don't want my kids to learn sex ed.
Okay.
So therefore, we're not teaching it to anybody.
Okay.
I don't want my kids to eat sweets. So we're not going to serve any cookies at lunch anymore.
But we've seen that, though. We've seen where, like, one kid is allergic to peanuts
or
and the parent, I'm not the parent, the teacher will send a note, say, hey,
nobody
sorry,
brings peanut butter.
Nobody will bring peanut butter or any kind of peanut-related item.
But it's like saying, you know what, our child doesn't wear red, so nobody can wear red anymore. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nutty. Don't wear red. Don't go to the Halloween show. Don't take part. Stay home. But no, we can't do that because it's exclusionary then. Maybe I just don't want my kid to go to any party, any event. So I'm going to keep them home, is what I would normally do. But you're going to say, no, you have to stop everybody. The principal wrote a letter to parents and mentioned something like the awkwardness planning a class celebration knowing that not all of her students would be able to participate is troubling. It's awkward. Not knowing not everybody's going to participate. Do you see the awkwardness planning his class celebration, knowing not all of the students would be able to participate? This isn't about the students. This is about the principal and the teachers who feel bad that some of the children will not be going. And they hurt. The whole time they planned this, they were hurting. Well, I don't want you to hurt, but get over it. Are you upset that not every kid celebrates Christmas? Cal, did you celebrate Christmas growing up?
Nope.
You would happen to not be Christian.
That is correct.
Yet you went to a Catholic high school in New York or New Jersey.
Yes, I did. And college, Catholic college as well.
So did everybody have to stop being Christian?
Yeah, they pulled us up during Mass and forced the sacrament down our throats.
Is that what it is? They made you take part?
They made me drink the wine. No, it wasn't forced. You had to go through theology classes, and you had to experience that. But no, during Mass, you just sat on the side and just kind of, you know, hung out.
So your parents, you guys didn't celebrate Christmas, right?
No, not really.
Okay. This is okay. You didn't celebrate. Others will. Some people celebrate holidays. But
I did not cry about it.
Okay, and were your parents, everybody devastated about this? No, you get over it. It's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, no, my parents sent me to private schools for the education. They didn't care what we did. You know, as long as you got the education, that's what they wanted to pay for.
Instead of Halloween, the school on November 9th will celebrate something else.
What are they going to do?
William Mitchell Day.
What is that?
I have no idea. William Mitchell is the
founding father,
the namesake of the elementary school. Unless I'm drawing a blank on a founding father, somebody, it's probably somebody historic significance. I don't know off the top of my head.
Do you get candy?
I don't know.
Do you get presents?
If I were a parent, I'd send my kid dressed up in something on William Mitchell Day.
Something culturally inappropriate.
Yeah. Trick or treat. Oh no.
Oh, sorry. What do we do on?
What do we do?
William Mitchell.
What do
Day?
I do with my hands?
What do I do with my hands on William Mitchell Day? I don't know. That's pretty horrible. I remember when I was in second, third, fourth grade, right?
Long
in
time
there,
ago, right?
A couple years ago.
Back in the 1800s?
Yeah.
There was a girl, we'll call her Kelly.
Because?
Her name was Kelly.
Okay.
In my class. And I remember she wasn't at the Christmas party.
Oh.
And she wasn't at the Halloween party. Nor was she at the Easter party.
Whoa.
She wasn't at any of those. And I found out she was part of something they call Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, they don't study none of that?
At least her sect didn't.
Okay.
I think pretty sure. And I remember being like, oh, wow.
Sad.
She doesn't get to celebrate those things or whatever. Her parents didn't send her to school those days.
Hmm.
Done.
But she was sad about it, right?
I don't know. She wasn't there.
Hmm. But you felt like she needed to be there, right?
I didn't care. I was there.
Hmm.
No, I mean, I thought about it. I was like, wow, that sucks, but okay, something I don't understand.
How did you
That's
feel
what
about
you don't
that?
Do. I was glad it wasn't me, you know. But it was funny. She went to the Valentine's Day party.
Really? So Valentine's is okay?
Apparently it was with their group.
Huh.
Yeah, her parents.
But you keep saying their group. Is there like different things for different groups?
I don't know.
Huh.
I'm not an expert on that. I'm just telling you what I know. I was in second, third, fourth grade, whatever, you know. But the point is, don't send your kid to school. Or if you have a problem with this, go somewhere else. Public schools are supposed to be for the masses. That's what it is. If most people do something, Now, by the way, if people in the community say this is absolutely fine and they don't want to take part in this, fine, do what you want. But if I'm in the community, I would think most people are okay with a Halloween party. I'm going to be pretty ticked if they make this decision without asking the parents. I would think most people still say, yeah, have a Halloween party, wouldn't you?
Yes. Because especially, for me, Halloween, it's just a day to get free candy. Nothing else, nothing more.
Does your son enjoy Halloween celebrations?
Oh, he loves.
It's coming up in just a couple of weeks.
It is.
And would you be upset if they canceled it? Would he be upset?
He will be really upset.
Okay. And this is one of those, if you are and they still do it because the majority of other peoples don't want it, move schools.
Glenn Beck.
Some tweets now with the hashtag What I Learned Today is at Doc Thompson Show if you want to join the program.
You got Adam Cessna saying, I get the bird law joke.
Good for you.
I also got Toby McVoy saying, have I missed the opportunity to describe Chris Cruz's attire?
Oh, yeah. Somebody in the other room just described you as a prisoner going for a job interview.
Yes.
Because you've got a prisoner-type striped shirt on and a tie.
I do, and the tie looks like it was handmade. You know, like
like it was made in the prisoner bathroom.
Thank you. Thank you, Kat.
You know, prison tats, nothing of prison ties. It's the same quality.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll tweet out a picture of that, too, so you can check it out.
Also, you got Joshua saying, and I agree with Joshua because I liked it. It says, what I learned today, Doc starts the show apologizing for lack of feelings.
Right.
Then tells people complaining, not throwing Halloween party. Pray quit whining.
Okay, let me draw the difference there.
LOL at the end, by the way.
Yes, got that. I apologize for not understanding that some people may have been a little more upset at that moment that we were talking about the shootings in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And I didn't express our compassion.
Okay.
Even though on Monday, that's all we did. We talked about people being inappropriate about it and even about people politicizing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Halloween party. It's not people dying, and you can just stay home. Nobody got to stay home from the concert knowing it was coming. Do you see the difference?
I do.
You have a concert, people getting shot, people died, family members not knowing where their loved ones are, people injured, and us saying, okay, maybe we could have taken an additional moment and let people know we're not being insensitive. We certainly respect, understand, and feel compassion for the people that are suffering. This is a Halloween party. If you don't want your kids to suffer, don't send them. And if you're suffering knowing that some kids may not be going and you're a teacher, wow, we are really, really soft.
Yeah. And we got not a bot, beep, beep, saying, one, start a group of for freedom-loving Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Two, trade houses with people in Puerto Rico and rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Three, USA 2.0.
That's the way to do it?
That's the way how to rebuild Puerto Rico. I like it.
Mm. Speaking of Halloween costumes and Halloween parties being inappropriate, there are some additional Halloween costumes that are likely inappropriate. In years past, we knew cultural appropriation had become, for some, a thing. Sorry, you can't wear that Indian outfit. I'm sorry, that Native American outfit. Or, for that matter, that Indian outfit. Right? I was like, you can't wear a Native American, so dot nor feather. Neither one. Right? I mean, you can't do either one of them.
Really?
I can't wear a dot or a feather. That's what I'm saying.
Again, this is why you get in trouble. That is really offensive.
That's not offensive. Is a feather a component if you were to dress up as a Native American?
Yes.
Is a dot something if you were trying to dress up as somebody from India?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know you're invoking rule number 4, I think it is.
It's not offensive if it's true.
Okay, but what about rule number 1?
Don't be a jerk. I don't think I was being jerk-like
very
there.
Very jerky-like.
I don't think that was
okay.
I'd like to invoke rule 5.
And rule 5.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I'd like to invoke rule number 2, though.
Okay.
Always keep the talent happy.
Oh, so that's about you.
It's always about me. What are you talking about? I appreciate, though, you recognizing me as the talent, though. So, yes, dot and feather both would be inappropriate at this point as a costume. But now you also cannot dress as cops and robbers.
Why not?
It's offensive. Let me explain. UVA students, University of Virginia, college started by Thomas Jefferson, one of the greatest founding fathers, who was all about freedoms, personal freedoms, freedom of thought. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility over all forms of tyranny over the minds of man. That guy. His now school had some students that shut down a cops and robbers themed party because a student group said it, quote, ready?
I'm ready.
Made a joke of a system that kills and brutalized marginalized communities.
Do they say what kind of community?
Marginalized communities. Think of a marginalized communities. There it is. So again, cops and robbers as just a party screwing around. Some people dressed like Chris Cruz today, while other people were dressed in police officer uniforms. It said, no, that's inappropriate because it makes a joke of systems that kill and brutalized marginalized communities. Okay. Would you like more explanation?
I would like to, because so far I can't connect the dots.
UVA Students United is a group. It's a social justice group. Is that helping at all?
Okay. Yeah.
It shut down the function hosted by a UVA chapter of Delta Phi. And they had male fraternity brothers dressed up in orange jumpsuits, and then their female guests wore cop uniforms.
Okay.
Kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
According to UVA Students United, this is the problem. This was their statement. These costumes make a joke of mass incarceration and the prison industrial complex systems that disproportionately brutalize people of color. The predominantly white members of this fraternity got fraternity got to take their costumes off at the end of the night. People trapped in the prison system do not. During confrontations with people at the party, the majority of partygoers asserted that they had no intention of offending or hurting anyone. It's kind of willful ignorance, UVA Students United said. Willful ignorance that allows white supremacy to continue. There you go. Cops and robbers, white supremacy. It is part of the prison industrial complex. It is about marginalized communities. I just thought it was like dressing up.
Yeah, what just happened to just having fun?
Yeah. Now, after nearly an hour of interaction at the party, because these UVA Students United, we'll just call them jackasses. They showed up to the party and they're like, hey, this is wrong. Meanwhile, everybody else is just partying. We could also call them Buzz Killington.
Yeah.
That's
there.
That's
party poopers?
That's the head of UVA Students United, Buzz Killington. Hello there, I'm here to tell you this is about marginalized communities. Sorry. After nearly an hour of interaction with the party members, Buzz Killington and company said the frat had to call the police on them for trespassing because they wouldn't leave. So the frat's like, hey, just get out of here. We're just screwing around. Just, you know, it's a party, whatever. And they, nope. So they had to call him. So then they reacted to it and posted after the fact what happened. So the next day, they posted last night, a group of about 20 or so students shut down a cops and robbers party themed date function at the hall of fraternity on campus. This came out after an hour of confrontation between the students and partygoers, culminating in the frat calling the police on the students on the grounds of trespassing. Now, the members of the frat wore orange jumpsuits, as I said, with bandanas tied around their heads, chains and tattoos down their arms. These costumes make a joke of mass incarceration and prison industrial complex systems that disproportionately brutalize people of color, as I said. How say you now?
Yeah. Can I just have fun?
Well, this part may bring it back a little bit, okay? Because, you know, you're kind of on the fence. No?
No, I'm still waiting.
You're still...
I'm here with my cup.
You're still...
They're like, can I...
You're still ready to go to this party.
Can I drink?
You would ready go to this party.
I'm ready.
You would still go.
Yes.
Listen to this part. Okay. And tell me if you're still...
I'm gonna put my cup down.
Now, you've pictured this, right?
I have.
They've got men in these orange jumpsuits.
They do.
Part of the prison industrial complex.
Yep.
As they're part of their white supremacy.
Bandanas.
And you're still willing to go.
I'm still willing to go.
Listen to this part.
Okay, I'm ready.
The women wore sexy cop outfits. What was that wince for? You're out now, right? Now you've signed up.
I'm more. Hold on, let me fix my tie. What's the address for this UVA area? Because I'm in. Now, hold on.
Right.
Now, they were wearing sexy outfits.
Yeah.
Right?
And you were a cop.
Yeah. Yeah, I never wore that. But this is more important than if I was a cop.
All right.
Were the girls hot?
I think they were.
Okay.
I mean, you invite them to wear sexy cop outfits, you're going to pick the attractive ones, okay. I would all think. Right, cool. I mean, maybe one or two, you know, slid under, you know, okay. got in under the, you know, the bar of acceptance, you know, okay. something like that. But I think most of them got over it, you know. Right. The women, they say, wore the sexy cop outfits complete with hats and badges. Some inexplicably had teardrop tattoos drawn on their face, they said. I don't know what that
is. The chicks?
Yeah.
When were the cops? You shoot a teardrop.
You killed somebody.
You killed somebody.
I don't know. Who knows what that okay. was about. Historically, the police have justified, they said, violence against people of color in the name of protecting white women. This is, again, Buzz Killington and UVA Students
but,
United.
I missed that memo because when I was a cop, I was never, I never received
you
them.
Justified violence against people of color in the name of protecting white women, didn't you?
I never got that memo, so I can say no.
They said in wearing these costumes, these women made a joke out of that legacy of violence. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But based on the way it's described, I think it just made them look hot.
Hotter?
That's what I'm guessing. Again, wasn't there, didn't see it, but that's what I think my reaction would have been. Now, during confrontations with people at the party, the majority of the partygoers asserted that they had no intention of offending anyone. But UVA Students United, headed up by Buzz Killington, said it's still a problem. And they said it's certainly a problem after the summer of terror and violence that they had.
Wow.
You know the summer of terror and violence.
Yeah.
This is Charlottesville.
Yeah.
You know the summer of terror and violence.
Yeah. It was just like, what, one day?
It was one day.
It was like a
although,
1 hour.
Sad that, you know, people got yes. killed. That was one person killed, I think, a couple injured. I think that's what it was. And that's wrong. And obviously white supremacists are truly there. But do not conflate the fact that there are white supremacists on this planet, in this country, or in Charlottesville on a day doing stupid things with people wearing sexy cop outfits, mm-hmm. having a good time at a frat party. They said that the summer of terror and violence instigated by white supremacist group in Charlottesville, they said it's at least very disappointing that members of the UVA community would so willingly make fun of a joke of a system that kills and brutalizes those marginalized communities.
I'm still in.
Yeah, I'm standing. I'm standing with the cops and robbers. But just, no, you can't do that now. I feel like we've reached a point where you can make that argument about anything. You know? I mean, just name something.
Dress up as a soldier. Oh, you kill those civilians overseas.
Murder. You doesn't have to be sold. Name something. Donuts. Right? Okay. Oh, what about people who can't afford donuts? And now, of course, you got the sugars. And you know what happened? You know where they grow sugar cane? They grow sugar cane in countries that are marginalized. And we take advantage of them. And, of course, we only invaded them at times because we wanted that sugar. Or whatever it is. Just you can just do that with anything.
We're going to say, dress as a hot dog.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, mm-hmm. hot dogs quite often are made from pork.
Oh.
People who can't eat pork based on their religion. Really? You want to marginalize those people? Really? And it's a hot dog? Really? You know what PETA thinks of that? Naming a food that you eat after an animal that is also made of animal? Because PETA's biggest problem would be that it's named dog.
Yeah.
Not that it's
made
of animals. So it's named after an animal.
After a dog.
Quick break. Back with more in the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Okay, DC's taken action today. Taken action.
On what?
A bill has been introduced by Dianne Feinstein in the Senate.
Okay.
To help
people in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay.
She's banning bump stocks. She just introduced the bill.
Well, in order,
like I said,
to keep it consistent.
If automatics are going to be illegal,
yes.
then bump stocks ought to. I don't think any of them should be. I find it ridiculous that this is what you're rushing to. Let's say she bans bump stocks. Is that going to stop people from being shot?
No.
By automatic weapons? No.
No.
Killed?
No.
No. It is going to help nothing. Zero. Zilch. But Dianne Feinstein is once again playing on those fears and going after an inanimate object. She's going after the how people were killed as opposed to why. You want to stop it, you go after the why. Stop the need, the necessity, the motivation to do such things. That's how you stop it, or at least curtail it. By the way, ABC is reporting, they have a story on the possibility that this Stephen Paddock was descending into madness.
Okay.
They talk about some things that indicate maybe he was going crazy. The headline, portrait emerging of Las Vegas shooter as a man descending into madness. They said, looked like he was losing weight. some others say he had been letting his appearance go. These different things that may show he was descending into madness.
Interesting.
Could be. Still looking for that motive today. And it's so important because we need to know how we protect ourselves and our families in the future. It's not from the guns. If it hadn't been that, it would have been something else. It would have been a Tim McVeigh situation or something else. It has to be the why until we find out. And by the way, I hope they don't try to get away with not telling us.
Oh, that'll be so wrong. This thing. That'll be so wrong.
I mean, if they have to wait because of investigations or to make sure there's not a bigger cell or anything else like that, if that was it, that's fine. But otherwise, you have to tell us. You have to let us know. The American people need closure on this, number one, and we need to know if we are going to be targets in the future and how we stop this stuff. Thanks so much for listening today. Got Pat Gray coming up next. He'll also be pinch hitting tomorrow right here on this broadcast. And join us tomorrow morning on the Blaze Radio Network. Just go to theblaze.com/radio. Have a great day. Doc Thompson for Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.